Welcome to Monday Morning Coffee with Inside the Firm. Each week, our hosts will be interviewing local, regional, and national business leaders to give you an inside peek into how they lead their business to success in the ever-competitive business climate.
Welcome to another episode of Inside the Firm. I am your host, Alex Gore, on this Monday morning podcast. Today, we have Danielle Hayden, a CPA author, co-founder, and CEO of Kickstarting Accounting. She is a seasoned chief financial officer who is rewriting what it means to provide bookkeeping and consulting services to high-earning female business owners. The Kickstarting Accountant Inc. team is the one-stop shop that provides their clients with bookkeeping services as a tiered system that grows with the business as needed. Additionally, they offer online courses, all things money mindset. Payroll services is another thing they offer, and tax consulting services. Since founding in 2015, the team has helped thousands of high-earning service-based businesses owners grow and scale their businesses to new heights. Welcome inside the firm.
Thank you so much for having me here. I'm really looking forward to it.
First side question is, you probably work with all types of different businesses. Could you kind of tell us what is their main groups? Is it, lawyers, architects? Is it just small business, shoe repair shops?
Yeah. So primarily our focus is to help small business owners. So really the reason I started the firm is to get access to business owners to this information, to this level of service. Most business owners, they think tax accountant, I need to do my own bookkeeping, or I'm going to show up with a box of receipts. And we're just like so far past that. Our mission is to really help business owners make better business decisions throughout the year, right? So by the time we hit tax season, when our clients show up to the taxes, right, they are prepared, they're calm, they're at ease, because they've been making decisions with their finances all year. So it's less about like what industry you're in. It's more about you having access to bookkeeping, confidence and ease around taxes. Primarily we work with service-based business owners. So not a lot of brick and mortar shops, mostly service-based business owners. However, accounting's accounting. So as a CPA, you're trained in what we call GAAP accounting. That's the only accounting term I'll throw out for you guys. So the industry isn't as important as the mission to help you understand the numbers and make better business decisions.
I would just echo that. We've had different tax companies over the last couple of years for various different reasons. And the same comment from two different companies was, oh, I was surprised. Normally the books aren't this well done. This makes my job easier. And I'm like, great. The less I have to talk to tax people, healthcare people, insurance people, the more my life is better. So,
That's one of the things for our clients, because we do both bookkeeping. So we offer bookkeeping, tax, and CFO services. So when a client comes to us, bookkeeping is always step one, right? Like you can't do anything else without bookkeeping. And then when we do their return, like a lot of times we're doing so much behind the scenes, clients are like, I thought you needed me for something. And I'm like, no, yeah. we don't need you, right? We need your personal information, but for the business side, we've got our clients. And so it's really cool for business owners. Just like, seriously, go run your business, do what you're good at, and stop worrying about the bookkeeping and the tax part of your business.
So could you then explain what's the difference between a bookkeeper and an accountant, and then going up the chain? This is probably for bigger businesses when they have a role of a, CFO, normally just the whoever's in charge, depending on the business side, takes on that role too. But what are these different tiers and what do they do?
Oh, this is like my favorite question. So I believe we need four people in our business at any size. Like, I don't care if you just started yesterday, you always need four people. You have to have a bookkeeper, because they are creating, right? Like picture you're building your house. They are creating the foundation, because you have to have a strong foundation, right?
Yep. You're talking to a bunch of architects. They
know, right? You guys get it. So we have to have the strong foundation of bookkeeping in place, accurate and on time throughout the year. So our bookkeeper is recording the historical transactions in the system so that it's accurate. Then our tax accountant, CPA, there's a million and one different terms for this, but usually your CPA or tax accountant then comes in to provide the tax filing and tax strategy. I strongly believe that they shouldn't be the same person. At our firm, we have two kind of sister companies who sit separate from each other because we always want to have that checks and balance. So we want to make sure that the bookkeeper isn't doing things that the tax department doesn't agree and vice versa. So our tax accountant comes in, files the return, provides tax strategy. Then we need a financial advisor. The financial advisor is helping you kind of bridge your personal life and your business life to plan for the future. So think retirement and wealth building. Then we have our CFO. And you're not wrong in that traditionally you don't have a CFO until you're, you know, several million dollars in sales. However, at our firm, we start working with clients who are doing about $500,000 in sales because that's when we find that they're ready to scale. So you're ready to start using the bookkeeping, like the look back, and you're ready to start planning for the future. All the CFO really means is that you're planning for the future, mapping out your spending, mapping out your goals, and being intentional about the way you do that.
Well, that's a perfect segue. What is, in your mind, healthy business spending, and how does that relate to profitability? And one of the, and I'd like you to take that as like a broad question. And then if you want to go into any specifics, meaning how much should people spend on marketing? You know, slash their sales as a percentage of their business. Because I don't think people know.
Yeah. Well, thank you for giving me permission to go broad.
Yeah.
Because I could give you like very specific numbers. We just did a podcast episode on this, on our podcast Business by the Books, about where we went through the entire income statement. So if you want the detailed information, you can go to Business by the Books and listen to the whole episode. But I want to give you, kind of a higher level of what I think is more important for you. As a business owner, what season of business are you in? Like, that's the first question. So if you are in high growth mode, meaning that you are investing in your growing your business, then we need a higher amount of spending in areas like advertising and marketing and payroll because we're building a team. If you're in an area of business where like, I really just need to focus on my family. I need to be home to have dinner with them or pick up the kids after school, or, you know, I need to support my parents, or, right. Like I need to do something else personally, or maybe even a lifestyle business. I think we make a mistake as business owners of thinking that we always have to be in high growth mode, and we don't. Mm-hmm. So if our goal is to have a little bit more work-life balance, then maybe we're spending less money in advertising and marketing and more money on a team. I had a client who a few years ago, I watched her go through this. She's been a longtime client. So we watched Jenna go through a few seasons of this. And when she came to us, she said, first of all, she considered herself a freelancer. And she said, teach me how to run my business at a loss. Out of request, but I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'll help you. So we dug into her numbers. We did what we call a catch up, where we bring all her transactions into the system, do a financial review call and say, all right, here's where you're at. I said, good news and bad news, Jenna. Good news, you're not running your business at a loss. Just didn't feel like you had any cash because you're taking out too much in owner's draws. Bad news is that it's now November. We don't really have time to do anything else. So you're going to be paying taxes on this.
Yep.
Here's the cool thing that happened is that her mindset shifted and she really started to level up as a business owner. So she said, I'm going to grow this business. And she spent a ton of money in networking, conferences, paid ads, marketing consultants. She redid her website. Right? Like she built the business and got a ton of momentum. The next year, she said, I need to put down some roots. So I'm in Ohio. She's a local business owner. She's like, I'm ready to buy a house. I need to be able to take home some profits to buy the home. So we scaled down her spending, right? We spent a little bit less in marketing so she could take home some profits. She saved. We celebrated her buying a home.
Yeah.
Then her mom got sick. And she's like, I don't want to leave the business, right? I need the business to still sustain, but I have to change, right? Like I changed my season that I'm in. She's spending way more that year in payroll costs. So payroll costs were like 70% of sales. But guess what? her team rallied around her, kept her business going, and she got to care for her mom. After her mom passed, she reorged her season of her business and changed her spending again. So I just say all that to like help you understand that our season of our business is going to change the way we spend money and what's healthy.
Yeah. So I recommend everyone go listen to that podcast. Say it again, just in case people forget.
Business by the Books.
Do you remember what the title was?
I will find it while we're talking.
Okay, perfect. just because this might come out a little bit later. I love the broad answer. But could you also then go into the nitty gritty of, you know, depending on those seasons, maybe give, I'm just interested in marketing percentage right now. How do you think about it? How do you advise in basically a maintain? Well, I mean, some people are doing nothing.
Right.
So
right.
From zero to, hey, I want to, you know, high growth to, hey, I'm just steady state. I'm just trying to manage, you know, what I have and maybe grow the skills of my team, you know? How would you approach that and what kind of ranges and numbers would you give?
So Business by the Books, episode 158. So you can go back and listen to the whole episode. Advertising and marketing, I think, is the biggest contributor to our success as our success in growth of a business. Mm-hmm. Our clients will come on our financial review calls and they'll say the first thing, all right, I'm braced for it. Where should I cut back?
Yeah.
Cut back? Like, if you, what are your goals for this year? Well, my goal is to grow, right? Like I need to hit six figures. I'm ready to hit 500,000. I'm ready to grow. I'm like, well, then why are you cutting back? We want to see 8 to 10% of our sales back in advertising and marketing if our goal is to grow. Now, if you're in an area of business where you're like, I cannot take on any more clients. I want to maintain my brand, but I don't need high growth mode. I still want you spending between 3 and 5% of sales back on marketing because you still need to have a brand, right? You still need to have a website. You will still have a marketing software. This includes marketing software, subscriptions, marketing consultants, paid ads, website, like business groups, right? So no matter what stage of business, you should have some type of spending. But if you're in high growth mode, that might look like, you know, closer to 10% of your sales.
And the reason why I wanted to drill down and get specific on that is because I could ask that person to mark, I could ask that question to marketing people, but then it's like, oh, are they just saying yeah. that yeah. just because, hey, spend 8 to 10%, you know, just to get it where you are not coming. That doesn't matter how much they spend to you. You're doing something totally different. So that's really why I kept on that train right there. Next question. Was how to pay yourself as a business owner. And we can, again, take that broadly. And then two, you know, if you are, you know, a corporation too, you can take dividends. And I've gotten both advice. One of the advice is, oh, you pay yourself what is commensurate with, you know, what your title is and all that. And then obviously you take dividends as profits. The other is, hey, what is commensurate with your where you are at can be relatively low and you should maximize the amount that you take on dividends. Let's just play with numbers. Let's say you're a business owner. You could take $100,000 in dividends, right? Or you could take $50,000 in dividends. And I've had both accountants and CPAs argue both ways. Give us the final answer.
Yeah. I'm like, how do you argue both ways? It's a pretty clear answer. Yeah. So it depends. And I'll say, I'm going to go back to, it depends on the season of business you're in. So first of all, right? If you're in high growth mode, you better leave that money in the business, right? You have no business taking out all of your profits as distributions, dividends, owner's draws, whatever term you want to call it. You have no business taking that money out if you're in high growth mode. That money needs to stay in the business so that you have money to spend in growing your business. So know the season of business that you're in first. Then you can decide, is it more important for you to take that home, that money home personally, or is it more important for your business to have that those funds so that it can secure the growth? So know that first. Then there's the structure part. So if you are an S-Corp, so if you're being taxed as an S-Corp, The IRS states that you have to pay yourself a reasonable compensation.
Yep.
So when we work with our clients, we use a reporting software that has never lost an audit. And so every single one of our tax clients receives a reasonable compensation analysis. And the reason being is that I want you to know exactly how much you have to pay yourself to pass an audit, because the IRS says you have to pay yourself a reasonable compensation. There's no ands, ifs, or buts. Like, I don't care what any CPA says.
Yep.
Like, the IRS says you have to pay yourself a reasonable compensation. So what's a reasonable comp? If you don't have that report, it is how much you would have to pay somebody else to do your job in your area. So it is very dependent on where you live. So if I run the same job responsibilities for your area versus mine, my reasonable compensation is going to be significantly lower than your location.
Yeah, so, we're talking Denver versus Ohio, just so everyone knows.
So for you, right, you're going to have to pay yourself a lot more through salary, through payroll, and I'm going to have to pay myself a little bit less. But once we hit our reasonable compensation numbers, then you're free to really take as much in owner's draws as you want. Mm-hmm. Like this report that I'm talking about gives you the green light to literally take as much cash as you want out of your business. But you have to pay yourself the reasonable compensation through payroll first. And if you don't have access to that report, you can go to salary.com and find that information.
Oh, perfect. We are currently in the season of tax season. So let's talk about this. This is too late for everyone last year, but this year is a good time to plan and to think about it. So what are some tips for some business owners to help them create a stress-free tax season?
Yeah, I want everyone to take action while the pain is fresh, right?
Yeah. Like, Uncle Sam just took your money.
Took your money, took your time, took your energy. Okay. Yep. So the first thing I want you to do is to completely separate business and personal. And it sounds simple, but it is really important, again, especially for my S-Corps, that we're keeping our financials completely separate from business and personal. So when you go to Target or Walmart or wherever, Amazon, I want you to have two cards. One's a business card and one's a personal card. My kids know that I am that annoying person who has two transactions, and I don't care what the person behind me or my kids or anybody else thinks, because it's important for me to keep those separate. And I say that because in December, when you're preparing for tax season, or even in January, you're not going to remember that Target purchase that you accidentally put on your personal card last January.
Yep.
Right. So we need to have them separate. We need to use two cards, no commingling. It's called piercing the corporate veil, leaves you exposed for liabilities. Just don't do it, right? Does that make sense?
Oh, 100%. Okay. Yep. Yep.
It feels cut and dry until people are doing it.
Yep.
All right. Next is to know your money spending personality type. So we have a money mindset quiz. Everybody can go take it, but I'll walk through the types. So you go to kickstartaccountinginc.com/quiz and take the quiz. But we find that people fall into one of four types. We have our free spenders. They do not look at the financials before they go and spend money. It doesn't matter. They're going to spend the money. Then we have our keepers. No amount of money in savings is ever going to make our keeper feel secure, right? Like, they're the type of person that you ask them, like, what do you keep the money in the business for? I can reinvest all the money into my business. Well, reinvest it where? I don't know. Like, it's in the business.
Yeah. It's in the bank account. There.
So that's our keeper. Yeah. Then we have our perfectionist. Our perfectionist is obsessed with knowing where every single dollar came from and where every single dollar is going. Right. Like, they need to know where the money is at all times, down to the penny, right? Like, it is time consuming. Then we have our balance seeker. Our balance seeker is somebody who knows they can't do everything. They need help in their business. They need to find that balance between having business expenses to minimize the profit, but not overspending in my business just because I'm going to get the tax write-off, right? Our free spenders are like, I'm going to spend $10,000 so I get a tax, air quote, deduction. You get $2,000 deduction, right? Like, you don't get the whole money back. So knowing what your money personality type is allows you to spend accordingly throughout the year, so you're not overpaying on taxes. Because back to our first point, you have to spend money to make money. And we cannot spend all of our money just because we're going to pay taxes.
Agree.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
All right, next is our mileage. And I think that we forget about, I didn't know that this existed until recently, but there's like tax influencers online. Have you seen these?
No, I hadn't. This is new to me.
Okay. Well, I'm sure your phone is listening to me and
yeah,
you'll get one.
It's going to come.
Yep. Yeah. So there's these tax influencers online and yeah, they'll tell people to, you know, go buy the Range Rover to get the tax deduction. It's the same business owner who can't afford a Range Rover, right? Yep. Like you still have to have the cash to pay for the Range Rover. So here's what I'm encouraging you. Don't go buy the Range Rover, but I want you to still get the business deduction. I want you to start tracking mileage. There's a really cool software called Mileage IQ, where every time you get in your car, you click business or personal, and then it keeps track of your mileage for you. And at the end of the year, you can send that to your tax accountant. Because you are out doing things for your business. You're running errands for your business. You're meeting with clients, right? You are driving for your business. And I hear too often, I'm just not a numbers person. I'm not that organized. I don't want to do it. And you're leaving money on the table. Make sense?
That's awesome. Yep. Okay, I love cool. that one.
Then we have our accountable plan. Now,
does it count driving to work?
No. You cannot drive to and from work.
Yep.
Can't drive to and from work. But if you leave work, go to lunch, go run an errand, go pick up some equipment and then come back. That's yep. it. That's mileage.
Gotcha.
Our next two is for S corps. Reasonable compensation and an accountable plan. We talked about reasonable compensation a little bit already, but when you pay yourself as an S corp, you are lowering the amount of tax liability that you're going to pay in self-employment tax. So every time you pay yourself via salary, you are lowering the amount of net income that your business is going to pay self-employment tax on at the end of the year. Now, if you take owner's draws or distributions, you do not lower the amount of net income your business pays. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay. So I want you all to pay yourself a reasonable salary. So you're lowering your net income because overall you're going to lower the amount of money that you're paying in taxes overall. Yep. Now, accountable plans are these really cool plans that S corps can have that help you compensate yourself, not just on a tax deduction somewhere. So an LLC, you could take a home office deduction, but it's just a credit on your tax return. S corps, you get this cool thing called the accountable plan. And once you have this document in place, you don't file with the IRS, your CPA doesn't need it. It's just a standard document saying that all S corp, that any S corp owner in the business gets these costs reimbursed. And it includes things like your cell phone, any shared expenses with your personal, and most importantly, your home office. But here's the cool part. Is every time you submit that accountable plan, you actually take cash money out of the business. So it's an expense to the business, aka lowering the net income that your business is paying. Then you take the cash out. You personally do not pay taxes on that. So it's not a draw, it's an expense to your business, and then you get the cash money.
I like it. That's right? A great idea. Never heard about, I mean, maybe someone has told me about that, but never really dove into it.
Yeah. Every S corp should have an accountable plan. I know you do some work from home, right?
Of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. The last one is to know your numbers throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
This is like the number one strategy that any business owner can easily take action on. If you're doing your own bookkeeping, you need to have a calendar invite in your calendar to complete the bookkeeping. Do not wait till the end of the quarter. Do not wait till the end of the year. It has to be done monthly. And then you have to look at your financial statements every month. Because when you look at your net income, you can know, do I need to save for taxes? How am I doing? Am I profitable? Am I losing money? Do I have to make changes? Right? Like you have the opportunity to step into your CEO role every time you review your numbers. And if you're working with a bookkeeper, make sure they're sending you the financial statements every month. Our clients get their financials every single month. It's their responsibility to review them and to make business decisions. But that's how you're going to save money on taxes, is to know your numbers.
You know what? It's interesting because 3 months of me coming and joining the business and really starting F9, I decided how much I hated bookkeeping and then taxes. And I was like, there's no way that I'm doing this for any more longer than 3 months. And then we had an accountant and, you know, it's all great. But I was always baffled why people would do it themselves. And I think it's just because they didn't hate it as much as me, because everyone has different proclivities, you know, some things that people hate, other people love. Thus, there are bookkeepers and accountants.
this is true, but are you, but even if you're doing your own, is it right?
Well, that's what I was going to say, is that my advice would be, even if you don't mind it, you should not be doing that. If you are an architect or engineer, an accountant can't do what you do. They can do the bookkeeping and the accountant. You should focus on what you can do, which is the architecture and the engineering, not the bookkeeping. Even if it's like, oh, it's fine. It's not fine. You heard it here first. Both of us. It's not fine. Don't do it.
Not fine. Because a lot of our clients that come to the firm, you know, at Kickstart Accounting, when clients come in, we do, like, even if they just want bookkeeping services moving forward. So they did their own bookkeeping historically. They're like, I just leave it alone. I'm just going to move forward. A lot of times we're like, we can't. It's so wrong, right? The balance sheet is so incorrect. And they come in very confident. So it's hard, right? Because they're like, I did a really good job. Like, I'm just hiring you to get it off my plate. And we're like, okay, awkward.
Yeah.
But it's no judgment either, right? Like, no judgment. We've all been there. At the beginning of our businesses, we're doing things that we have no business doing. I did it. You did it. Like, it's fine. But in order to grow, you can't be doing those tasks.
No.
And it'd be insulting if I came in and I was like, I think I could do the engineering for you. Right? Like, that's like, I can't.
And let's say you, for some reason, you liked it. It would take you 4 hours for me to do what I could do in 10 minutes. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Go do something else. You know, you need a hobby.
Yep. Yep. Well, perfect. Any other strategies?
That's it. That's a big one. Know your numbers, save for your taxes throughout the year. And find a team that you want to talk to. You know, you don't have to do it alone. And even if it's not Kickstart Accounting to help you, find a team. You don't have to have the superhero cape on. You don't have to be alone in business. You need those four people, right? You need a bookkeeper who's going to make sure the foundation is set. You need the tax account so you're compliant and you have strategy. Don't forget about your financial advisor, because you have to plan for your future. You need a CFO or a business coach to help you put it all together and map it, your goals.
Absolutely. If people want to get a hold of you or just know more about you and your firm, where should they go?
KickstartAccountingInc.com/gift. There is some awesome resources there for any of your listeners. And then we have our podcast, Business by the Books. Every week we come back with an episode of how to use your numbers to run your business.
Awesome. Thank you for coming inside the firm.
Thank you so much.